know about you, but when we first started talking about this episode, I assumed we'd find a whole lot of BDSM AU fix.
I did too, but when we checked AO3, we were really surprised to find that there were actually 84 stony fix tagged with BDSM AU.
I couldn't, 84, that seemed crazy. So for anybody who's listening and doesn't know the difference between a BDSM AU and then the kind of BDSM we just talked about that you guys wrote in Held, what is the difference?
So BDSM AU is an alternate universe where people's, I don't even know what the right word is, alignment is always what I try to use, but it's inherent. It's part of their biological imperative. It's similar to the alpha, beta, omega dynamic in that you are either a dom, a sub, or sometimes people include switches as well as part of who you are, whether you know that right from when you're born or it's something that presents as you go through puberty, it is inherent.
As we record this, there are 1,604 stony fix tagged BDSM in general, mm-hmm. and then 755 tagged as alpha, beta, omega, but only 84, like we said, tagged as the BDSM AU. And this is fascinating to me, and I know to you as well, because the mm-hmm. world building between an ABO and a BDSM AU feel similar. So to have this like giant range feels strange. So we were puzzled, listeners. And so we did some research and thought about why this difference may exist. And we're going to throw some of our ideas out to you.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing to find. They both involve power dynamics, I think, sort of inherently. And there's that biological imperative. So it didn't seem, I could understand trends ebb and flow, but it seems like a really dramatic difference in stats to have almost 10 times as many ABO fix as BDSM AU, especially when BDSM as a practice, as a kink, seems to be fairly popular. It's more popular than ABO. And there's some flexibility when you write ABO that you get to define your own world, your own aspects of the various secondary genders that people can have. But it still comes down to some things that we all sort of agree are the basics to ABO. And if people went beyond that, it would be, I'd call it like an active twisting of the trope. Alphas are the powerful ones in society. They're biologically driven to mate omegas, who are biologically driven to want that, whether they go through heat or not, they're inherently designed to bottom, basically. and that involves some natural submission. I'm obviously, a lot of people love to play with dominance and submission within ABO, so it's certainly not universal. But just looking at it as a general interpretation of the trope, there is that power dynamic difference there that in a lot of ways mimics central male-female power imbalance that we have in our society.
Which I think is one of the reasons that people are drawn to ABOs, maybe over some BDSM stuff, because that fun playing with gender, I know we talked about that with Saber last episode, because in BDSM, the biological imperative to submit is not necessarily connected to like reproduction or anything else. It's the submission is both sexual and non. And then when we add in some of the BDSM AUs I've read, both in this fandom and outside of it, there's a soulmate element. Mm-hmm. There's one true dom for a sub, et cetera, et cetera. Not always, but that seems to be a theme. But the word bonding is certainly used frequently, mm-hmm. either in both ABO and BDSM, either on a soulmate level or to indicate the seriousness of a relationship. Like you see people talk about bond marks, both as soul marks and also as wedding rings. Mm-hmm. And then there are some BDSM AUs that also use the signing of a contract as a sign of commitment, although that's more often used as part of the beginning of a relationship, just like you may have in a offline BDSM contracted relationship.
There's also another similarity when we compare subspace or subdrop with an omega's heat. And just to give some context here, I know not everybody knows what subspace is, especially looking at how small the tag is. Maybe it's not as much of a common thing. Subspace is actually real. It's not something invented for BDSM AUs. It's certainly not something that every submissive has experienced or can experience, but the general idea is that in an act of submission, whether sexual or not, it's possible for a person to enter a sort of hyper-submissive headspace where it's often described as everything being very easy, very hazy, floaty. You get a laser focus just onto the person dominating you. What they want from you becomes the only important thing. Could be almost disassociative, but most people find that subspace is a positive thing. And that is a real life occurrence that a lot of submissives in real life BDSM relation or DS relationships experience or seek out, and is often something that you can only experience if you're with a dom that you really trust and can fully let go with. So that was obviously pulled through into BDSM fix as a way to show how comfortable the sub and dom were with each other, how relaxed the sub would be, or how good the dom was for the sub. And then when we look at BDSM AUs, it becomes an inherent impulse that the sub needs to be put into subspace on a regular basis, or they'll start to feel sick, or they'll start to get distracted, or, you know, that's the kind of thing that's mostly up to the writer, but it's a common trope for subspace to be important. A lot of people also use sub drop as a flip side to that, or the sub drop becomes the consequence for not being put into subspace often enough. And sub drop in real life usually happens after a scene, especially if the sub didn't get enough aftercare or didn't get the right kind of aftercare. And it suspected that it's basically like the chemical, the same as when you have a shock after a sudden event, like a car crash or something, and for a while you're kind of jazzed up and you can do anything. And then when the adrenaline crashes, you feel really horrible. Sub drop would be, you've hit that peak of submission, maybe orgasm, everything feels great, the pain has become pleasure. And then after that, that crash leaves room for negative thinking and self-hatred and some of the pain to come back. And oftentimes is a place where you can start, if the aftercare wasn't given, that can be sort of a mental crash that happens as well as a physical crash. So sub drop was brought in as well into BDSM AUs as a possible consequence for not going into subspace. And that opens up all these possibilities for this poor sub who's been hiding, that they don't have a dom, they've been trying to take care of themselves. It's a common trope for Tony. Common trope for him is that he doesn't do the things for himself that he needs to do. So we often see him when he's a sub in these BDSM AUs. We see him not taking care of himself, locking himself in his office, refusing to seek out a dom, that kind of thing. And the consequence of that is maybe sub drop or slipping into subspace he can't come out of or whatever it may be. And for me, I see a balance there as well with Omegas going into heat in ABO stories. It's often this biological need for an alpha, just like the subspace becomes a biological need for a dom. They need to be mated or knotted to feel better. They need to be taken care of. And there isn't much generally that they can do for themselves.
One of the other interesting differences between a BDSM AU and currently how a lot of the ABO fics are being written is that a dom is almost seen as the great savior of the sub in some way. And that is certainly, when I look at kind of the history of ABO fics, that is how a lot of alphas were for Omegas for a long time. But in more recent ABOs, especially within MCU in general and within Steve and Tony fics specifically, there's been a real playing with subverting the dynamics of the ABO worlds. There has not been, as we've already said, a drive to subvert the dom sub in the same way. And I think some of that is inherently because the point of the dom is to fix everything, is to be the one in the world that this is created that can take care of the sub, and that can just get things done. there was a lot of psychological and literary analysis that came out around 50 Shades about why so many suburban American middle-class women were really drawn to this world. And a huge predominant theme among that was that people who have to make a million decisions every single day and never ever get to pass major decisions off to anybody else are deeply attracted in their fantasy life to somebody who will simply take care of everything and also will make their life perfect in a lot of ways. And you don't have to negotiate things. You don't have to tell them how to give you an orgasm. They already know. These kind of dynamics are, I think, inherent in being a dom and a sub versus the idea in an alpha omega is a little bit more flexible. And we, as a fandom, have been kind of mucking around with that a little bit more than we have in a BDSM AU. Because again, the dom is the savior role in this kind of way. Now, what's particularly interesting is that all submission requires consent, whether it's unspoken and kind of inherent, and that consent is taken from you by your biological imperative, but you still have to, like, there's still fic out there. There's actually a really famous Stagoni fic where Bucky is a sub, and Steve and Tony are his doms. And this is like a soulmate situation. It's called Trinity. We'll link it in the show notes. But Bucky fights it and fights it and fights it and fights it and will not, even though biologically he's supposed to, and he does get the sickness and all kind of all this other stuff, he still fights it. So we still kind of play with this consent situation, but not nearly as much as we do in some other tropes within fic.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to compare that with ABO as well, because consent is inherently kind of a hot topic no matter what. Like Ashes and I said earlier, it varies from person to person, from society to society, and situation to situation. If you've been in a relationship with somebody for 30 years, you don't have to necessarily give verbal consent every time you have sex, but if you text somebody on Tinder and you meet up, it's obviously super important that you make it clear what both of you are there for. So having the BDSM or the DS relationship be inherent can both make consent simpler and make it more complicated. I think it makes it simpler within the world, which makes it more complicated for us reading it, because a lot of times that inherentness can raise the question, is there consent in this? Was this consented to? And so one thing that is popular to do is, like you said, with the Trinity fic, is to make that consent harder to get, to show that the doms are respecting that consent does have to take place even though there's a biological imperative. And that can sort of put an extra shine on the doms to be like, look how great they are, even though they both want it so badly in their bodies, they're still waiting for their mind to agree to it as well. And we see that in ABO fix as well, but perhaps one of the reasons that people have trended towards ABO over BDSM AU is that there's more scope to play with when the inherentness is purely about sex in ABO, whereas in a BDSM AU, the inherentness isn't entirely affects their relationship on every level. The submission isn't necessarily just sexual. So you could have perhaps an omega who tops, or an omega who's very dominant, two omegas together, two alphas together. And that's something a lot of people have explored. With BDSM AU, maybe we're a little more restricted, or the idea of a bratty sub, which would be a sub who doesn't always go down easy or doesn't always take commands easily, feels like it has less scope. I feel like there's a lot here. There's a lot of potential that, as much as we like to play with ABO as a gendered concept, I think DS has potential in the ways that it's more separated from that. And I'm really surprised that it was only 84 fix out there. I mean, maybe there's also a couple of other tags people have used, but you know, in general, it's a general idea. And 84, it's really not a lot for a ship as big as Stony.
So why aren't they writing it? You know, we've kind of explored some of the differences. I was talking to one of our pot staff and co who is our graphics maven, was saying that she reads a lot of long fics and has read a lot of BDSM fics, and all of the ones that she has read are E, whereas ABO runs all four ratings.
Right.
And so I think there's some of that. I wonder too if people feel like they have to know the DS world significantly more to write it than to write an AU. And like, and the ABO world is not hard to dip your foot into. So maybe the barrier to entry feels bigger and more intimidating. And
ABO is not real at all. I mean, as much as it reflects some realities for people, it's not real. So it's harder to say like, oh, you did this wrong, because it's like, this is just my interpretation of it. But there could be a real fear there of misrepresenting what a DS relationship is or should be.
I know that would certainly be one of my, I would want to do a whole lot of research and world building. And I love world building.
You know.
For anyone keeping a list at home of the ways that Flame and Ferret are different, you can add that Flame loves world building and Ferret is allergic to it.
I hate it. Don't ask me about the politics in my fix or like, you know, what people's last names are. It's not happening.
Whereas I've created what their first dance song was at their wedding. And yeah.
I can't do it.
So,
but maybe that's why I have written a BDSM AU and I loved it and I'd like to write more.
And I was told I'm totally intimidated to, but this conversation has inspired me to try.
But the kink thing is like the E-rated thing is interesting too, because I can totally see your point that you could write a G-rated ABO fic, no problem. But the idea of doing a G-rated BDSM AU, I can, you know, I think people should, but I can see why the answer would be like, well, you know, it's a kink. It is expressly a kink that people do in a kinky way. And while non-sexual submission is a real thing, and actually when I did a BDSM AU, most of it had no sex. I can see how one's first view would be like, oh, this is an E-rated bedroom thing.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here thinking like I've written a couple ABO fics, and I think at least one of them was like just pure domestic fluff. Like,
yeah.
I would have no concept of how to do domestic fluff DS off the top of my head.
Yeah. What about like clothes control? That's a great non-sexual submission option.
Ooh.
Or foot washing, cleaning, human furniture. That doesn't have to be sexual.
No.
I was asked to put it in a fic once or it suggested to me. And yeah, I ended up doing a bunch of research for it. And I didn't find a lot of examples in fan fiction. I had to go into real life research.
One of the great things about the internet and kink education on the internet is that there are so many places to find that kind of thing. Like you were able to go into these real life, offline, I hate using real life, offline dynamics of people who do this within their relationship. And if listeners, if you're curious, there is so many resources out there. We've linked to a few on our lexicon for other BDSM categorical things. But if you're looking for more information on human furniture or on non-sexual submission or on sexual submission, there are a lot of places out there. Some are dubious, so please be careful. But a lot are written by practitioners who are very, very fiercely protective of the ethics of this world. And some are even on things like, I've seen some things on Twitter and on Tumblr where people are very, very open about the specific dynamics within their DS relationship.
Speaking of social media, we did a Twitter poll because we wanted to know what you guys thought. And there is an appetite for BDSM AUs, even though they're not really being written. Sure, 65% of people said that they preferred the bedroom kink version of BDSM. So just normal humans or normal superheroes who practice BDSM. But that's still a pretty solid chunk of people who selected BDSM AUs, you know, over a third. And many, many, many people sobbed everywhere that they could get in touch with us to let us know that they were completely devastated that they couldn't choose both as an option, which we did know that that was likely to happen. And we did not put both there for a reason, but there's a thirst out there.
So whether you are interested, like we've said, in writing it as a kink or writing it as non-sexual or writing it domestic or anything, if you are into playing with the power dynamics of dom and sub, please know that people are desperate for your fix. So get writing.